You know, we come together like this. It's times like this and we really can see God. And you know, I don't know what you all were seeing, but I was seeing God's family coming together. My spirit didn't want us to stop and not sing, because we're all family. We're sisters and brothers. And I asked God, let us experience something here different. When we asking God for something, then we gotta stand fast and we just gotta wait and see what God is doing. God is bringing us together, person by person, church by church, because he's trying to show us that we're all one. We all connected. We may be at different locations, but we all one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Our scripture on Sunday night, I read Psalms 85, 69, but I stuck with verse 6, and it says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I read Psalm 69, 32b, "Ye who seek God, let your hearts revive." Psalms 139, 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Sunday night, we talked about asking God to do it again. We talked about asking God to just restore and bring back to life those things that we once cherished and we once valued. We talked about a revival was the extraordinary movement of the Spirit of God in the heart of God's people. And that when revival comes, it produces extraordinary results. We talked about a revival was restoration to life. It brings us back to consciousness. We said that it was a new presentation of something old. And we said that it was to live again, to receive life again. I told you renewment, replacing or repairing of something. When something needs to be renewed, that means that it's worn out, that it's run down, and it needs renewal. I talked about to restore, and restore means to bring back, to reinstate, to return to a formal position. Restore is an overhaul. And that in the life of every believer, we need to be renewed, we need to be restored, and we need to be revived. I told you that a revival restores us back to our first love. And that a revival builds a desire for God's word, for God's prayer and for praise and for obedience. That a revival resolves conflicts. It removes bitterness, unfairness, and worry. A revival refreshes our spirit. It stirs it up again. A revival renews the mind, gives us a new attitude, a new direction. Revival restores us back unto life. Last night, we talked about uncover to recover. I read scriptures, Luke 12 and 2, and it said, "But there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." We talked about pride, and we read Proverbs 11 and 2, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom." Then back to Proverbs 28 and 13, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." We talked about uncovering some things in our life. We talk about the things that we keep hidden in our heart and hidden in our mind that we need to uncover. The longer we keep something hid, the harder it is for us to uncover it. The harder it is for us to come to repentance, because we've been harboring these things in our heart for so long till we've made it a part of us. And when something has become a part of you, a lot of times we don't want to let go of it because it's always been there. But we have some nagging things, some things that have become a part of us that we need to let go of. We have some things that had to be uncovered, and I talked about keeping nothing hid. because we cannot hide from God. God sees everything, and God knows everything. So if we want to have a life of revival, then what we have to do is we have to uncover the secret sin. We talked a lot about sin, and we're going to end with sin, because it is about the sin in our lives. When we need reviving, when we need restoring, and when we need renewing, it's usually because of something that's still down on the inside. And that something, whatever it is, it has been keeping us from staying in a right relationship with God. It has been keeping us from prospering as God would have us to prosper. And it also keeps us from healing, and it keeps us from deliverance. And the reason it does that, because it sets up a false security for us. If we want our healing, if we want deliverance, if we want to be revived back to our rightful place, to feel God's presence again, then we got to uncover the things in our lives. Even though it's hurtful, it may be painful, but you all, we have to learn to push past the pain. Because when we get past the pain, we get to our blessings. We get to the point where we can trust God. But as long as we have this thing that's causing pain, we're never going to get to what God has for us. So we got to uncover it. We got to bring it up. And we got to give it back to God. Because we can't do nothing with it. It keeps causing us pain. It keeps us from getting to where we need to be. God does not want us stagnated. He wants us to be able to move the way that he had intended for us to move. And y'all, he wants to walk with us like he used to. I loved it when I read in Genesis how he walked with Adam and how he walked with Eve in the cool of the day. Boy, I would just pray for him. I just wanted to walk with God. I wanted God to walk with me, and I just want to feel him. I want to feel him in my life. I want to have him in my thoughts and have him in my heart. Because see, when I have God in my thoughts and when I have God in my heart, I can love everybody the way I'm supposed to love everybody. I can live a life holy and upright because I have God in my thoughts and in my heart. Tonight, I just want to end this with a turnaround. My scriptures is Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Acts 3 and 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Matthew 3 and 12. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then lastly, Matthew 4 and 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to talk for a minute about a turnaround. That big turnaround. And that turnaround deals with repentance. Lord, we come right now, God, just saying thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your will and your way, God. Lord, we thank you for tonight, God. Lord, and not just tonight, but every night. But God, we just thank you for your presence, God. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus, God, that each and every one here tonight, God, Lord, that they receive that you have put out to them, God. Lord, and that there be a turnaround in their lives, God. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that no one goes home the way they came, God. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that I decrease and that you increase, and that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my God, my strength. Amen. Amen. A turnaround. John the Baptist, we all know, was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was a cousin of the Lord's, and John had a message of repentance. And John's message of repentance was necessary in order to prepare the people for the kingdom of heaven, which was at hand. Matthew substituted the kingdom of heaven for the kingdom of God. The Jews regarded it as blasphemous to refer to God by name. In 4:17, the message of John the Baptist is now in this scripture proclaimed by Jesus Christ. Jesus is not calling his listeners to be prepared for the kingdom, but Jesus was announcing that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom blessings in Isaiah was that promise for a future fulfillment. He said that was promised in Isaiah is here. The fulfillment of it is here. It's now. In other words, I'm here. I'm here. I'm the one. Acts 3:19 says, repent now, be converted. Turn around. And we repent that our sins can be blotted out through the promises that was forgiven. The promises of forgiveness. Repentance is a turn back to God. And repentance precedes God's presence. God cannot be present when there is no repentance. Because if there is no repentance and confession of sin, then we're still full of the sin. And the God we serve is a holy God. And he cannot dwell in an unholy place. Yes, yes. Come on now. We've learned that humility and honesty provide for the fertile ground in which the seeds of grace and revival can grow and bear fruit. So now the next step is responding to God's conviction and general repentance. What is the role in the life of a child of God? How do we know if we have genuinely repented? Because I'm sure all of us have went to God and we said we're sorry. We haven't went to people. We go to people and we tell people, you know, I'm sorry, you know, for what I did. But it's just words that's coming out of our mouth because we're not really sorry because we really didn't mean it. We just saying it because it says, well, I'm supposed to go and I'm supposed to apologize for what I say if it offends someone. So we just doing it just to be doing it. We're not doing it because we mean it from our heart. We do the same thing with God. Sometimes we just go to God with so much rhetoric. We just talking to be talking, talking to hear ourselves talking, or thinking that we impressed God. And we're not doing anything but making a fool out of ourselves. Because the God we serve, he knows all the inward parts of us. He knows what we've done. I told you when we talked about Adam and Eve, and he asked them that question, where are you? He knew where they were. He'd been watching them. But he was trying to give them an opportunity to come clean. He knows where we are when we're talking to him. When we're saying the things we're saying, God knows where we are. I just hear him, where are you? We're talking, you're talking, you're saying something, but you're still hiding something. You're really not coming clean. Where are you? Where are we tonight? Where are we in our relationship with Christ? Where are we in our repentance? Where are we in our love for God? Where are we in our love for one another? Where are we? God knows. You can hide it from each other. You can hide it from me. I'm no one. But you know what? You can't hide it from God. Because God knows where you are. He knows where you are. And he knows how sincere that you are. If we look and we listen tonight, we'll see the answers as we go forward. I have a couple key points. And one, revival requires repentance, which we said. We know there can be no revival if there's no repentance. And revival is to bring something back again, to cause something to live again. Well, if you're full of so much and you're full of stuff, then there's no room for God to cause something to live because you're still dead in your sin. You're dead wrong because there's no confession and because you're still trying to hide it. So it can't be a revival if you're still hiding some things. So all of those things that you've been dealing with in secret, it's time for you to come clean with God. Because we need to have a clean conscience. That God can't do nothing with us if our conscience is not clean. He can't do anything with us or for us if our heart is not clean. If it's still dirty and full of sin, and if our minds is still filthy with the thoughts that we have about one another, if our thoughts ain't thought about God and about His love and His kindness, His mercy and His grace, but if we so full of jealousy and all the other things, God can't do no work in that heart. He can't do no changing in that mind, because you got some kind of attitude, and you got to realize that that attitude that you have is unacceptable. If you want to have a renewing of the mind, then you got to get rid of that nasty attitude. And we got to accept the attitude of gratitude. Point B, repentance involves returning to the Lord, forsaking sin, and obeying God. We say we're sorry, and we ask God to forgive us, but we don't turn back to God. We get out and we pray, and we're telling God all these things, but there's nothing reflective in your life or in your behavior of true repentance. You tell someone you're sorry, but then you go right back and gossip about them again. Amen. Yes. We say, I'm not going to do it no more, and you do it again. And you go and you talk about somebody else. Well, you haven't done nothing. Because see, if you were truly sorry, then there would be a change in your behavior. When our behavior changes, we forsake that thing. We forsake it. We don't keep doing it. And we start obeying God. Repentance is for Christians. It's for the believers. And it's for the non-Christians. I have another definition for repentance, and this is the one I really like. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of behavior. Change the way of thinking, you change the way people act. Because see, we behave or we move, we react to what we think. Once we think it, we react to it. So if we want something positive and we want something different, we've got to change the way we think. Repentance is when I change the way that I think, you see a difference in my life. I don't walk the way I used to walk, and I don't talk and say the things that I used to say, because I truly want a relationship with God. So I have to give that sin up, and then my life has to be reflective of it, y'all. We don't have today, not because God isn't able, but why should we keep receiving, 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 and never giving back? Why should we keep wanting God to pour in, and we're so full of sin? How can He pour in and there's no room? We have to pour out so that He can pour in. Another point, repentance is not optional. Repentance is required. It's required. You can't choose to repent of the sin that you're doing. It's required that we do that. Malachi 3:7 says, return to me and I will return to you. And at this right here, this is a crucial step for all of us that are seeking revival tonight, because somewhere in our life we have turned away from God. And he knows that. He feels that. God, He has a longing to have us back with Him, but He just can't accept us back on our own conditions. In order for us to be with God and feel God's presence, then we have to get back on God's conditions. He has conditions that must be met. And none of us are exempt from those conditions. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that's from the top on down. So all of us are required. It's not optional, but it's required that we go and we repent. If we want God to return to us, then we have to return to him. And when we return to him, we return by our first step in repentance. The call to repent is throughout all the Bible. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel and Judea, they repeatedly strayed away from the Lord. Then when they strayed away from God, they would pray to God and they would ask God, you know, to forgive them because they was tired of the trouble that they were in. They was tired of being in oppression. They was tired of depression. They was just tired of not being able to do anything. The enemy was heavy upon them. And so then when they would feel it, they would pray to God. God would forgive them. They would come back in right relationship with God. And then the whole cycle would start over again. That truly used to bother me when I would think about that. I say, wow. I say, God, it's just a vicious cycle. They keep doing the same thing. But then I had to sit down and I had to look and we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We get in trouble. We get tired. We get sick. Our kids go to acting up on us. And we go to praying to God, asking God to help us. Lord, deliver my children. Bring my children back. And thank God he hears our prayer and he answers our prayer. And we good for a minute. But we soon back away from God. We don't forgot about the love. We don't forgot about what God has done. And we back doing the same thing over again. That message of repentance is prominent from the Genesis to Revelation. I read you Matthew 3:2. And I read Luke 4:17. I'm sorry to you. The message that was preached by John the Baptist and the message that Jesus preached was the same message. The same message. And that was the message to repent, to turn from your sin. Now, Revelation in the final book of the Bible, at 2:5-16, and in 20, verse 21, 22, in chapter 3, verse 3, and verse 19, that there is a reoccurring exhortation that Jesus gives to the churches to repent. What he wants them to do is to repent and to return to your first love. Repent because judgment day is coming. And I know you're probably going to be tired of hearing that by the time I get through because you've been hearing it Sunday, you heard it last night, but this is just important in revival. We just have to know that we have to repent. We have to turn. And I didn't say that we had to do no 360, because if I do that, I'm going to end right back up in the same spot. Right. So I'm not saying to do no 360 turn. Sometimes it just take 1 degree. I don't know what it takes for you. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what your life exhibits. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what you've been thinking. I don't know about your relationship with God. So it may take a little bit more. But what I'm saying tonight is that we do have to turn. Yes. It's time to turn. Yes. We have to change. And that's true like this. Change our position. We can't get to where we need to get to in the same position. So in order to get to where we're trying to go, in order to get to that relationship, we have to change our position. You know, sometimes you're talking with someone and you're trying to have a certain ending you want. And you know what? I can't keep going on at this pace. So I'm going to have to change my position on this. I'm going to have to turn a little bit. That means I'm going to have to do something different. I want that. In order to get it, I can't keep doing it the same way I'm doing it. So I'm going to have to turn. That's the way it is with God. We got to turn. What are we turning from? We turn it from this life of sin. Yeah. We turn it from the things that God hates. Yeah. And when we turn from that, we're turning to God. An attitude of repentance is crucial in our coming to Christ for salvation. For the New Testament apostles, they called both Jews and Greeks to respond in repentance towards God. And that means all of us. Whether Jew or whether Greek, we all are called into repentance, a turnaround. To be a Christian, a person must repent. You must turn around, turn away. You've got to turn away from the old way of life, and you have to turn to Christ for a new way of life. That those of us here in the revival, we say we turned away, and we probably have, we turned away, but we turned back some. And in our turning back, we turned away. Because we're moving away. We've moved away from where we were with God.
Yes, 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 yes.
And now we're asking God for a revival, meaning, God, I want you to move my position. Take me back. Place me back into this right relationship. And upon asking God that, I'm saying, Lord, I'll turn. I can turn. I can repent. I can turn away from the old so that I can experience life again with you. And that's what we're asking for. We're asking God to revive us again. Lord, cause me to have a desire to want to live again. And only God can put that in our heart and in our minds. He's the only one that can cause us to want to have that desire. And so in the revival, we're asking him. We're asking God for help. We're calling on him, and we believe in his word that what he said, call unto me. Call me. Call me. Call me. Call me. Not the pastor. Call me. Not our spouses. Call me. Not our children. Call me. Me. God, he says, call me. And there's a reason he said, call him. Because he's the only one with the answer that we need. He's the only one that can provide us with the turnaround power that we need. So he said, call me. And God, he said, Jeremiah 33:3, he said, I will answer. Isn't that something? Not I might answer, but I will. So I'm assured when I call on God for help, when I call and ask God, Lord, help me with that turnaround, I know he's going to help me because he is not one that will lie. Whatever he said he do, he'll do. So if I call on him, I can expect God to answer. Sometimes you may not get an answer because you don't expect an answer. But when I call and I ask God for something, I'm expecting an answer. I'm expecting an answer. Because I'm believing God to do what I asked him to do. Now, either he may say yes, he may say no, or he may say wait a while. But God is going to answer. And then he said that he will show us great, great, and mighty things. These are things, y'all, we don't know. And things we can't get to on our own. We can only see those things through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the only one that can show us things so great because God is great. I love that song. It says he's so great. He's greater than great. He's bigger than big. He's mightier than mightier. The God we serve, y'all said it earlier, he's awesome. He's an awesome God. Most powerful God. Most loving God. He and he alone can show me what I need to see. And in that, he can cause us to have a desire to want to be revived. He causes us because we want to be revived, because we want a relationship with him. He can cause us to do whatever it takes.
Amen. That's right.
And what it takes is to turn, repent, confess, and turn. Just as sin begins in our minds, repentance must begin in our mind, because the Holy Spirit brings about conviction. A couple people said, you stepped on my toes tonight. You know, you stepped on my toes tonight. You know, I didn't step on nobody's toes. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit convicts. I can't convict you of nothing. I can only do and say what God tells me to do and say. The Holy Spirit convicts and causes us to want to do something different. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Repentance means that I'm putting myself, I'm humbling myself unto God. And that in humbling myself, I'm emptying myself out so that God can use me. I'm loving God with all that's in me. Because you know what, you all? When our hearts and minds is full of sin and full of envy and full of strife and full of hate, we can't love God. We don't have no room. And some of us are on a pride trip. We don't have no room for nobody but ourselves. We got to learn to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Because when you love somebody like that, you'll do anything. I'm telling you, I'm loving on God, so I told God I'd do anything. Because I love you. I like that song. You remember that song somebody sang? She said, "You love God? I love God." What's wrong with you? All I'm trying to say is that when we have true love for God, genuine love in our hearts, it will cause us to turn. It will cause us to want to do something different. Our minds must be transformed into the likeness of Christ. It must be renewed. It must be restored. And renewing only occurs with repentance. Renewing the mind must include training. Training, how do you train your mind? Well, we have to start speaking to ourselves. We have to start just talking to ourselves and feeding ourselves God's word. Because see, God's word will give us instructions and direction. And if we start feeding God's word into our spirit, then we can start training our mind to recognizing a voice that's not God's voice. Because we'll know his word, and when we hear something contrary to his word, we'll know that's not God. So we train our mind on discerning who's speaking to us, who's talking to us, and we began to recognize temptation. And once we do that, we respond quickly. Some of us that procrastinate, no, we can't procrastinate when temptation is upon you. We have to respond quickly. We have to turn quickly unto God and call him and talk to him about it. How can we teach our minds or train our minds to resist? The way we do that is by honestly grieving over our sin. By allowing our grief over sin to lead us into repentance. Because if something we're truly sorry over, we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna bring that up that's out of our heart. And we're gonna truly be sincere with it. And it's gonna lead us to repent. When you're really sorry about something you've done to someone, you talk about it. And when you're talking, the more you talk, the more you go within yourself and you start to feeling a relief. And it makes you repent. It makes you so sorrowful because I believe as we're thinking about what we've done, I don't know about you, but I've said some things at some point in my life that was so ugly that I wish I had not have ever said. But I could not take it back because it was out there already. I'm telling you, and that thing just worked with me. It worked with me. I think about it today, even now as I'm speaking of it. But I'm telling you, it vexed me in my spirit so to it made me have to fall down. And it made me have to repent. I had to confess. Because I was sorry with everything that was in me. I didn't know how it looked. I didn't know how I sound until I had an opportunity to step back and see how ugly my mouth was. And I tell you, I prayed to God about that thing. I prayed to God. I didn't hide it. And I told God, fix my mouth. I can't do it. I've been talking like this too long, God. Tonight I think this is how I'm supposed to talk. And I was totally out of order. I was totally out of order. But I tell you, when that Holy Spirit convicted me, brought me to repentance, I have never been the same. He hasn't blessed me again yet, but I tell you, you don't have to worry about me being disrespectful to my husband. You don't have to worry about me fussing or cussing him out. Because I truly meant what I said to God. I truly meant that thing. And God has done a mighty work in my life. In my life. So I was sorrowful for it. And it made me repent. And that's what I'm just saying that to us. When we're really sorry about something, it leads us to do something. See, our behavior has to reflect what's up here, what we're thinking. If your behavior is not responding, then something is wrong with what you're thinking. If it's still coming out negative, it's because you're still being negative. In order for something to come out positive, you got to input something positive. But if you don't put nothing good in, nothing good is going to come out. Because what's in the heart is what's on your mind. And what's on your mind going to come out of your mouth. We go back to them. That's just the honest God truth.
That's it.
We can be ugly.
That's it.
We've got to leave sin, the love of sin, alone. I told you we know that it's true repentance when we have a change in our behavior.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Repentance cannot be considered genuine unless there's an outward evidence, meaning a change in your behavior. So you can come and you can tell me you're sorry all you want. But if I can't tell it the next time you come up to me and you say something to me, you're not sorry. If I can't tell about how you talk to somebody else, I'm looking and I'm saying, oh, okay. Same gang, same thing, just different person. Ain't nothing changed. Because see, when we chew about this thing, things change with us. Our behavior changes. It is not the same. And that's true repentance. The little time for real change may depend on the nature of the sin. Like I said, I don't know how much time it takes for a change. Some change comes right that second. Some change comes in a couple hours. Some change coming may take a night, a day, or two, a year. It all depends. And then it depends on you, not God. Because see, God does his part. But we still procrastinate with our part. Because some of us, we're just not ready to get that sin up. We're really not ready. We want to. But we still not ready. Because we've been enjoying what we've been doing. And we like the effects that it has had on us. True repentance is when we can change.
Yeah.
When we're
yeah.
ready
yeah.
for that turnaround. When God calls us to repent, it's time to act. And it may not always be easy. And it may not be pleasant. But we have to understand this. One, that the very fact that God reveals sins in our lives and urges us to repent is evidence of his great love, his mercy, and his kindness towards us. The best time for us to respond to God is at the moment that we're convicted. Instead of waiting around to another time, we respond to God right now. As soon as he convicts us, we start responding. Because I told you, the longer you wait to respond, most times you're not even going to do it. You're going to keep doing the thing that you're doing. Because you've been doing it so long. God has convicted you of it, but you're still procrastinating over it. And then it becomes even harder to change. So the best thing for us to do is to act on it the moment that we've been convicted. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, not saying God will enable us to escape temptation, but that he will enable us to land intact on the other side. Remember I told you the temptation also begins in the mind. It begins in a thought. And although we become renewed, we become restored, we become revived, you all, we still gonna have some temptation. We're not going to be able to escape temptation. But what God does by us, whether renewing, but what God does for us, he allows us to recognize it. He allows us and enables us to get to the other side because he lets us know that what it takes, what we need, he has input in us. A lot of times we don't know what's in us because we don't take the time to sit down and listen to God. We don't take the time to sit down and read our word to see about power and authority that God has given us. He's not going to take every temptation away from us. We still have free will. You have a choice to make. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. But when we're revived and we're trying to live our life revived, then what we have to do is we have to look and we have to start immediately. God said that he give me a way out of this. So what I'm going to do, I start praying. I just pray my way out of it. I just start praying and talking to God about this thing that's tempting me. This thing that keeps coming up in my life. And y'all all got some. You got something that you keep struggling with. We're all struggling with one thing or another. Whether we admit it or not, y'all, we all struggling with something. And we have to talk to God about that struggle. When that temptations come that will cause you to sin, you have to immediately turn that over to God. You have to immediately talk to God about that. 2 Corinthians 12:9 lets us know, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what God has said, in our time of weakness, He makes us strong by him being in us. God is made strong through our weakness because as we come through this, God is getting the glory out of these things in our lives. The things that we're doing that we've been weak in, we're not conquering these things on our own. We're not coming through this on our own. But by the grace of God, because the God we serve is an all-sufficient God, and he's saying that his strength is sufficient. We don't need the strength of nobody else when temptations or things knock at our door. All we need is the strength of God. God will supply all of our need. So the purpose of repentance is not to make us feel better about ourselves, but it's to restore us back into a right relationship with God so that our lives may again bring glory to God and that we may be used for his purpose. Being revived or being a repenter, it renews our mind. When we repent, we have to renew our mind in the scriptures daily. See, we repent, that means we've opened up, we've emptied some stuff out, and so now we don't want to leave any room for the enemy. So what we do, we renew our mind through the truth of the scriptures daily. A repenter responds to God immediately. We don't procrastinate. When God is talking to us or trying to get our attention about something, we're supposed to go to God with it and deal with it then. We're not supposed to cover up our sin. We have to deal with it at the moment that we're being convicted of it. All right. A repenter follows God personally. He does not base his commitment to God on what other people are doing. See, when we're a repenter, we don't base nothing on what nobody else is doing. Because somebody else is going to hell, you're going to go right to hell with them. We have to base what we do on God. We have to follow God and trust in God for ourselves. We have to step outside of the crowd, and we have to become a God follower. We have to follow God personally, and that's a personal thing there. A repenter accepts God's discipline fully because we do know that when we sin, we do know that there is consequences. The things that we do wrong, there's consequences for it. Yes, God forgives us, but there's consequences for the things that we do. And being a repenter, you accept that because you know that that's the consequences of the sin. And you accept that because you know that's God's discipline in us. And he disciplines us because he loves us. It's time for us now to turn. We have to turn from the ways of the world, and we have to turn to God. We have to turn away from all those things that we once made gods of, those things that meant so much to us that we put them before God. We have to turn away from those things and realize that we need God, the one true and living God. We've got to turn from a lack of love, from judging, from bitterness, and from unforgiveness. And we got to turn to love. We got to turn to letting God search your heart. You got to turn to tenderness, and you have to turn to forgiveness. We got to turn away from selfishness, from pride, and from conceit. And then you got to turn to self-denial, to humility, and to esteeming others. You got to turn from stubbornness to brokenness. You got to turn from disrespect to respect. You got to turn from rebellion to submission. You got to turn from disobedience to obedience. You got to turn from impatientness to ungratefulness, covetousness, and from discontent. And you got to turn to patience. You got to turn to an attitude of gratitude. You got to turn to being content. We got to learn, church, how to turn from murmuring, and from complaining, from strife, and from contention. And we got to turn to praising God. We got to turn to trusting God, but taking God at his word. And we have to turn to God's peace. We have to turn from retaliation, and turn from anger, and turn from wrath, and turn from anger. And then we have to turn to returning back good for evil, not evil for evil. We got to turn to self-control. We got to return to answering when assaults answer. And we got to turn from hate to love. We got to turn from gossip, from evil speaking, lying, profanity, and idle words. Y'all, we got to turn to an edifying speech. We got to turn to a good report. We got to speak the truth. We got to minister God's word and minister to each other. We got to turn from moral impurity and from fornication and from lust and from adultery. And we got to turn to moral purity. We got to turn to abstinence. We got to turn to marital fidelity. And we got to turn to pure desire. There are some things that we have to turn from when we're making this turnaround. We cannot get that that we're asking God for. We cannot be revived unless we turn away from some things in our life. We have to turn away from the worldly entertainment, and we have to turn to spiritual pursuits. We have to turn away from our immoral, ill-mindedness dress to a modest dress. We have to turn from bodily harm, and we have to turn to glorifying God in our body. We got to turn from drunkenness to sobriety. We got to turn from following the crowd to being God-fearing. We got to turn from witchcraft, horoscopes, and we have to start worshiping God. We got to turn from gambling in these casinos, and we got to turn to being a good steward. Scripture says, "Will thou not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" The next verse, he goes on and says, "Lord, we want to hear what you will speak. Reveal yourself to us. Set us free from these unholy passions." When we're asking God to hear us, we got to have our ears open and in tune to hearing him. Yeah. We're so used to listening to all the gossip.
Yeah.
You know, we're so used to listening to all the complaints. We're so used to listening to people trying to put themselves up as greater than. We listen to people that think they know what they're doing, and they really don't know, because if they did, their life would be in a much better shape than what is in. We can't listen to people and they're not showing no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. We got to be in tune to hearing God's word. Our ears have to be open, and we have to be able to discern who it is that we listen to. They wanted God to hear. They wanted to hear what God had to say. So that means that their ears have been closed. And I think that's... No, I don't think. Our ears have been closed. If not, they're blocked up. We got some wax in them. And we're not hearing the way we should be hearing. We need the Lord to just remove that wax. We need the Lord to open up our ears. Stop us from having itchy ears to hear all the negative. We get all these negative seeds, y'all, planted in your spirit. Stop allowing these seeds to be planted in your spirit. Stop listening to this garbage. Stop telling somebody, letting somebody tell you what you can't do, what you can't have, what you can't accomplish. Don't hear that. You don't have to hear that. Because see, once they plant that seed, and that seed remains there, it begins to grow. And then, y'all, it's in our heart. And we believe it. What they say, we believe in a lie. But what we have to do is never allow it. Because we're God's child. We're God's children. And we can have what God says we can have. Nobody can tell us how successful we can be. We can be as successful as we want to be. Because we belong to a mighty God. And when we're living a revived life, when we're living a saved life, when we're living a holy life, there's nothing God won't do for us. A successful business is nothing, because your success depends on you. God has it for us. But it depends on you. It depends on what you want. What it is in life that you can believe God for. When they said they wanted God, they wanted to hear what God had to say. When we want to be revived, we want a new life, we want to live again, you just ought to be tired sometimes of all this dead weight.
Come on now.
Tired of feeling it. You know, you look down there and everything around you just looks like it's dead. Sometimes I walked up a neighborhood and I said, God, all the houses, everything boarded up, trash, garbage all over the place. Ain't no wind moving, ain't nothing moving. I said, Lord, everything, this is just dead. Sometimes our lives get like that. Because we're not listening and we don't want to hear what God has to say. When the Lord opens up our ears and we begin to listen and listen to Him alone, things start happening. When this revival gets in the wind, the city and everybody's revival, I believe that when God does that great revival that I believe in Him to do, that we'll be able to walk up a neighborhood and won't see the houses all boarded up. Won't see garbage laying in the street. What I'm saying, y'all, is that when God revives our lives, we won't be the same. We won't be walking around feeling like dead weight or asking, can these bones yet live? Woo, I like that. I like that. Because you know what, y'all? It's hope. It's hope. Nothing dead to God says it's dead. God can bring life back to anything and anyone. He begins to put the mortar and the bone marrow in the bones. And He begins to attach them back. It's all a process, and that's what revival is. That's what getting our life back is. It's a process. And I don't want you all to get tired of the process. I want you to go through the process. Because I'm telling you, if you go through the process, you'll get your strength in God. Because see, it's in the going through that we get the momentum that we need. It's in the going through and the sacrificing and the doing without that we get our strength. God shows Himself up mighty. He'll show Himself up in a supernatural way. Because I'm just one to believe that God can move any mountain. I just believe tonight that if we allow God to revive us, we can live again. Your homes are going to be changed. Your life. Y'all just declare. We can declare it on tonight. We can declare it tonight. We don't have to wait. God already knows. I gave you the plan. I gave you the plan as He gave it to me. And the one word that continues to stick out is that repent. And we could just turn. Turn from the way we used to do things. Turn from the way we used to look at things and look at people. If we could just open up our spiritual eyes and just see God in a new way. I'm just experiencing God in a different way right now. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm claiming mine. All that God has for me, I want it. I want it. I don't want nothing He has for nobody else. I just want what He has for me. But I want you to get what God has for you. Because God has a desire to give us any and all things if we trust in Him. God wants us to prosper. Not just financially, but He wants us to prosper in our health. I believe there's nothing that God can't do. Cancer? Nothing. Hypertension? right? Hear ya. We serve a God that's greater than all that. Greater than all that. They ask God, will you not revive us again? That we might not rejoice in you. I want you to rejoice in the Lord of tonight. God showed them, yes, I'll do it. But they had gotten down to the Lord's thing they could get down to. They were tired. Anybody tired tonight? Anybody just tired tonight? Been running for God and you tired of running? Finances depleted and you tired of being broke? Tired of being alone? Tired of being lonely? Sometimes women get tired of even going to church. You know, you hear people say, I'm tired of going to church. Wow. That's when you know you need to be revived.
Amen.
Because irregardless to what go on in the church, nobody can't preach you happy. Nobody can't sing you happy. Nobody can't teach you happy. You got to praise and worship God for yourself. If you want something different and you want what God has for you, don't let nobody cry out for you. Cry out to God for yourself. Do something different. Stop doing things the same way. There was a time in coming home at night from work. I'd come home all the time the same way. Open myself up for a lot of stuff. Nothing ever changed. Everything was the same. I got tired of coming home that way. So I had to stand up and get a new way. Get another way. So I got another way. I made a change. And when I changed that, the scenery was different. I looked at other things and they sort of uplifted me. We got to get tired of looking at depression and oppression. We got to get tired of being tired. And we got to want to do something about it. And when you come out here, whatever church you go to, praise and worship God for yourself. Develop your relationship with God for yourself. Whether you have music or you don't have music, I'm going to tell you, in your house, just start praising and worshiping God and see the difference that it'll make in your life. I tell you, sometimes temptations come and it gets on you, and I just want to do it something different. The kids talk about me because I just go to clean it up. I'm moving stuff around. I can turn a room around 100 ways. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord be turning me around. Woo! He be turning me around. And so I just keep turning. I don't care how many times I got to move that chair. I move it. I keep moving stuff and wiping stuff until he said it's enough. And I know if I spend me enough, because he be done convicted me of some things. My eyes are open now. And I see things differently. And the room probably is in the same place it was before I got stuck. But I'm telling you, the Lord will work some things in us. But he got to work some things out of us. And revive us because we believe God. And we want to change. We don't want to stay the same. We don't want to keep getting up doing the same thing. We want to get up and do something different. We want to praise God and experience God like never before. I can't give you that. I wish I could. Because I just got so much fire in my bones. I tell you, it's just I can't keep still. I got so much. And I just want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. Because I love God. I love God. I love God. And I know what God will do. I know what he'll do. I was once in the valley of dry bones, and the Lord revived me. I said, Lord, I want to live again. Y'all, I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. I'm not ready now. I don't want to go now unless the Lord say I got it. But if he don't say I got to go, I want to live. And I want to live my life to the fullest. And the only way is God's way. Will thou revive us again? Will thou, Lord, revive us again? I thank you all on tonight. And I'm just praying God's spirit for you. You know, and preparing for this, I just went into prayer and just got to myself with the Lord. And I'll tell you, sometimes I'm real when I say I like to give you what I have. What I have isn't much. But what I do have, I can give it to you. I give it to you. I like to give you that faith. Everything's not quite where it needs to be. But God is getting me there. But that I do have, I like to give it to you. I like to give you godly love. Godly joy. If it was mine to give, I'd give it to you. But I do know the man that holds everything in his hand. And it's his to give. And he gives it freely. That's Jesus. I love Jesus, y'all, because when he could have changed his mind, when he left his place of comfort with his Father, he left heaven to come down here. But I just like to say, for me, because he knew the mess I was in. I can admit me. But when he got to the garden and he began to pray, and it talked about how he began to ask God, Lord, if it's thy will. Now if you remove this cup. But y'all did it in the same breath, he said, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. Why? Because he knew all of us were going to be here. See, in that garden, Jesus sweat for me. They said the blood poured out his pores, the sweat poured out like blood. He sweat for me. He gave up that he could have done. He could have done something different, but he didn't. And y'all pay attention. He didn't cover it up. He said, he took us there. If it's your will, but nevertheless. And because he said nevertheless, today, I can say nevertheless. Yes. Yes. See, it didn't matter to him what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. And he knew it was nobody else that could come and do what he was about to do. But he loved us so much, so much, so much. Nevertheless, God, they can beat me. Nevertheless, God, talk about me, with me. Nevertheless, God, nevertheless, let your will be done. I want a nevertheless attitude. I want to know whatever it is I need to know and say, nevertheless, God, I already know this is going to happen. And I believe that's what we do as pastors. It's a nevertheless spirit, because you know what you got to do. You know your purpose, but it gets hard. It gets hard. God placed this revival in you and your wife, Pastor, because he was trying to strengthen your nevertheless spirit. That's what he was doing. He was trying to let you know you've already seen some things. But you just got to stay the course. He's letting you know the road is not and has not going to be easy. And it's not going to get no easier. But he was putting a revival in your spirit. So as you continue to walk the walk and talk the talk and live the life, you'd be renewed and you have a new zeal that you can run on anyhow. Because nevertheless, Liberty Temple, nevertheless, God has put you all in this place for a reason. He put a man and woman of God over you for a reason. And together, this thing is going to go according to God's plan. Together, you all stand united in one accord. The Lord has renewed mind. He's restored you and still restoring. He's reviving the church. Because of where he's taking you, Pastor. You see, God, he always prepares us. Like I told you all, we have to be prepared for the revival. That's why I talk to you so much about sin. Because to be revived, I got to give you the preparatory grounds. The Lord is preparing you for that he's put in you. And that is not yet to be seen. And I believe he made no mistake, because we don't serve a God that makes a mistake. So he called a revival. Because he knew you were going to need the church to be strong. To stand together. To be restored. Be renewed. Return back to your first love. God is building in this place. He's building. In the name of Jesus. God is good. And he's good all the time. Nevertheless, they took him and they nailed Jesus to the cross. I know sometimes you feel nailed to a cross. They pierced him in his side and blood running down. On the cross, Jesus suffering for us. He never had a change of heart. You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that teaching us something today? Yes. One of his parting words, forgive them. Yes. What's that saying to you, church? That's saying, forgive them no matter what it is. Forgive because Jesus forgave. Yes. And he was in pain and he was in agony. Yes. He still forgave. Yes. Yes. Talk to the thieves and save the one that wanted to be saved. Told them this day. See, and that's what I like about God. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. He said this day. Yeah. And then in the end, a part that's really good that I can really jump around on is when he said it's finished. He said, I've done all that I came to do. In this life, we got to do all that God has purposed us to do. We can't stop short of God's glory. Even when it hurts, we got to push past the pain. Even when we don't want to, y'all, we got to keep pushing. Because the Lord will get you to the other side if we just stay the course. And I want to be able to say, Lord, I've done it. I've done what you said. I preached when you said preached. I did what you said to God. I said the things you told me. Sometimes you tell us to say some things, Pastor. We don't want to say it because we're afraid about hurting people's feelings. We got to stay the course. We got to follow God's command. Because I'd rather their feelings be hurt than their soul be lost. Then the scripture said he hung his head. And he died. Wow. But that wasn't the end of his story. That wasn't the end of his story, y'all. Death isn't the end of our story. 3 days later, as he said in his word, that he would rise again, he rose up from the dead. Surely, as he rose, we could be revived. These dead bones, these spirits, we can be revived, we can live again, we can be restored. Yes. Jesus set that example for us. I believe right now, as the word says, that he's sitting in heaven with the Father, interceding on our behalf. Tonight, if we have anyone here tonight that is not saved, that does not know God, does not know the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have anyone here tonight that is not saved, that would like to be saved. God saved. This is a revival. We have anyone here tonight? I ask you every night. It's the third night. But I ask you, if you need to be revived, this is your time, y'all. See, we can stand together. We can have corporate prayer. We just got to believe God for some things. But Pastor, I was showing this, and I want to do it this way before we pray. I want to ask that you and the members of your church come up to the front of the church. Liberty Temple. If you all would come up to the front of the church. God placed this in your spirit. He placed this in your spirit because he knows the church.
All right.
So we got to see what God sees. And if we can't see what he sees, then we have to pray. We have to pray till he opens up our eyes. And we can't see. I want to ask Pastor Cheeks and Pastor Lucas, if you all can come up front, please. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One at each end. Pastor Lucas, one at each end. And then I'm going to ask that you all here. We all going to pray, but the Lord has just said to pray for the church.
Right.
Pray for Liberty Temple. Revival is bringing back to life. So I'm asking that you pray as I pray. I'm asking that Pastor Lucas and Pastor Cheeks, that you pray along with me. I just believe there's nothing that God can't do. And see, we don't have to know what it is why God has called this to be. That's between you and God. The man of God responded to a call from God. And it affects the entire church. Remember I told you about David, how what David did, what he did wrong, and how his sin affected the whole church. See, everything we do don't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. If you want the church revived, each of you have to be revived. And you all have to stand up with your man and woman of God. But you can't stand if you're not revived. You can't stand if you go back to your old way of doing things and your old way of looking at things. You all just got to turn and trust God. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we come right now, God. Lord, we come first just thanking you, God. Lord, we thanking you for showing us your will and your way, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, we just thank you for your move on this three-day revival, God. Lord, we thank you how you moved into the hearts of the pastor and senior pastor here, God. Lord, and we thank you how we seen the move in the congregation, God. Lord, we asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, for restoration, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus, God, for a renewing of the mind, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus for a revival, God. Whatever it is, God, whatever areas in this ministry, God, that's been laying dormant, God, whatever areas in this ministry, God, Lord, that seems like it's dead or that's been covered up, God. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that it is uncovered, God. Lord, because we coming to you asking, God. Asking, fully trusting in you, God. Lord, open ourselves up to you and open ourselves, God. Lord, asking you to do whatever's necessary, God. Lord, because we want your will to be done, God. Lord, we pray, God, from the pastor on down, God. Lord, that you touch this man of God. Lord, touch him from the top of his head, God. Lord, I'm asking that you give him a new attitude. Give him a new way of thinking, God. Lord, if there's anything that's there, God. Lord, that needs training, that needs turning. Lord, in the name of Jesus, turn him. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch his mind, God. Touch his heart, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, sometimes I know his heart is full, God. Lord, but I'm asking that you empty out those things, Heavenly Father, that he has no need of. Those things that are not pleasing to you, God. Those things that are causing him anguish, God. Those things that cause him pain, God. To stay up late at night, God. To walk and cry to himself, God, when nobody else knows, God. Lord, I'm asking that you of Jesus. Cleanse them in the name of Jesus, God. Listen, God. As he leads the sheep, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless every member here, God. Lord, you know their need. You know their want and their desire, God. I'm asking, God. I just intercede, God. The pastors, we're standing here interceding, God, touching and agreeing, God, for you to just revive them again, God. Call the spirits to come back alive again, God. Cause them to rejoice again, God. Cause them to walk the way you have them to walk again, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. In the name of Jesus. Lord, continue in prayer, God. Lord, we have those that have come out each night to this revival, God. Lord, they came out seeking something, Lord. Lord, and I know in my spirit. I know in my spirit, God, that you're going to do it. But Lord, we're just trying to repair the heart and the minds, God, prepare to receive that. To receive that blessing. Because you're not a God that would give them something and take it back from them, God. You're a God, a permanent God. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, God, that as they came out tonight seeking, that their hearts be revived, let their hearts revive, God. Whatever it is that they're asking for tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Because that's the way you said this thing has to be done, God. Lord, call them to repent, God. Call them to confess, God. Call them not to cover up no more, God. Call them to turn it all over to you, God. Because you want to bless them tonight, God. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, God. Lord, you can heal. And you can deliver, God. You can deliver. Bless in the name of Jesus. This is our prayer, God. This is our prayer, God. That you may restore us back unto your joy. These are all prayers and blessings we ask in the matchless mighty name of Jesus. We say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.